By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome back viewers of Rise and Shine, and inshallah in today's show we'll have the daily reminders, the daily hadith, and today's topic is a very important topic like usual. But first, let's listen to a blessed hadith regarding sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that whoever gives salam to me near my grave, Allah shall appoint an angel over it who will convey it to me. Through it, he will be sufficed in his matter of the world and he in the hereafter. Subhanallah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam sent those blessed individuals who have the opportunity to visit the blessed roza of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that if they recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, inshallah, their matters of this world and the hereafter will be sufficed. So all of these should make an intention that recite salawat in abundance upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, inshallah, we'll go on to the first segment of the show, which is the recitation of the Holy Quran. At the moment we are on Surah Qaf. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
افعینا بالخلق الاول.
تو کیا ہم پہلی بار بنا کر تھک گئے؟
بل ہم فی لبس من خلق جدید.
بلکہ وہ نئے بننے سے شبہ میں ہیں.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ.
اور بے شک ہم نے آدمی کو پیدا کیا اور ہم جانتے ہیں جو وسوسہ اس کا نفس ڈالتا ہے.
وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ.
اور ہم دل کی رگ سے بھی اس سے زیادہ نزدیک ہیں.
اِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ.
جب اس سے لیتے ہیں دو لینے والے, ایک دہنے بیٹھا اور ایک بائیں.
ما يلفظ من قول الا لديه رقيب عتيد.
کوئی بات وہ زبان سے نہیں نکالتا کہ اس کے پاس ایک محافظ تیار نہ بیٹھا ہو.
وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق.
اور آئی موت کی سختی حق کے ساتھ.
ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد.
یہ ہے جس سے تو بھاگتا تھا.
وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدِ.
اور سور پھونکا گیا, یہ ہے وعدہِ عذاب کا دن.
وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ.
اور ہر جان یوں حاضر ہوئی کہ اس کے ساتھ ایک ہانکنے والا اور ایک گواہ.
لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد.
بے شک تو اس سے غفلت میں تھا تو ہم نے تجھ پر سے پردہ اٹھایا تو آج تیری نگاہ تیز ہے.
وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد.
اور اس کا ہم نشین فرشتہ بولا, یہ ہے جو میرے پاس حاضر ہے.
أَلْقِيَا فِي جَهَنَّمَ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ.
حکم ہوگا تم دونوں جہنم میں ڈال دو ہر بڑے ناشکرے ہٹ دھرم کو.
مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ مُرِيبٍ.
جو بھلائی سے بہت روکنے والا حد سے بڑھنے والا شک کرنے والا.
الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد.
جس نے اللہ کے ساتھ کوئی اور معبود ٹھہرایا تم دونوں اسے سخت عذاب میں ڈالو.
قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد.
اس کے ساتھی شیطان نے کہا ہمارے رب میں نے اسے سرکش نہ کیا ہاں یہ آپ ہی دور کی گمراہی میں تھا.
قال لا تختصموا لدي وقد قدمت اليكم بالوعيد.
فرمائے گا میرے پاس نہ جھگڑو میں تمہیں پہلے ہی عذاب کا ڈر سنا چکا تھا.
ما يبدل القول لدي وما انا بظلام للعبيد.
میرے یہاں بات بدلتی نہیں اور نہ میں بندوں پر ظلم کروں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. And that was the recitation of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, now we'll go through the translation from the verse 14 to verse 29. First, verse 15. So did we tire due to the first creation? Rather, they are in doubt regarding a new creation. Verse 16. We created man and we know what his soul whispers to him. We are closer to him than his jugular vein. Verse 17. When the two scribe angels record, one seated to the right and one seated to the left. Verse 18. He does not utter a word except that there is a guardian angel ready near him. Verse 19. And the severity of death came with the truth. This is that which you were running away from. Verse 20. And the horn will be blown. This is the day of promised retribution. Verse 21. And every soul will come forth with an enforcing angel and a witness. Verse 22. You were oblivious to this, so we removed your veil from you. So this day your sight is sharp. Verse 23. And his companion angel will say, this is what I have with me prepared. Verse 24. O angels, cast every deeply ungrateful, obstinate individual into hell. Verse 25. One who excessively prevents good, a transgressor, a doubter. Verse 26. Who was made another god with Allah? So, O angels, cast him into severe punishment. Verse 27. And his companion devil will say, O our Lord, I did not make him transgress. However, he was extreme misguidance. Verse 28. He, Allah will say, do not quarrel in my court. I had already sent the warning of punishment to you. And verse 29. In my court, the decree is not changed and I am not unjust to people. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. These were these verses of the Holy Quran. Yeah, again, like every day, try and read the verses of the Holy Quran with the translation and the commentary, and inshallah you'll see the benefit which you will gain. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which is the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'in قلوب. سن لو اللہ کی یاد ہی سے دل چین پاتے ہیں راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا
راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
زینت نطق تیرا اسم عظیم زینت نطق تیرا اسم عظیم وجہ تحریک لب ہے ذکر تیرا وجہ تحریک لب ہے ذکر تیرا
راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
بے بسی کی سیاہ راتوں میں بے بسی کی سیاہ راتوں میں روشنی کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا روشنی کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
تیرے ارشاد سے ہوا معلوم تیرے ارشاد سے ہوا معلوم ذکر شاہ عرب ہے ذکر تیرا ذکر شاہ عرب ہے ذکر تیرا
راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
جس کا احسا کرے زبان بشر جس کا احسا کرے زبان بشر اتنا محدود کب ہے ذکر تیرا اتنا محدود کب ہے ذکر تیرا
راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
فکر شہزاد کے لیے لارب فکر شہزاد کے لیے لارب باعث تاب و تب ہے ذکر تیرا باعث تاب و تب ہے ذکر تیرا
راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. That was deep. Kalam of the day, inshallah. I would like to mention a verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fulfill the promise. Indeed, question will be asked on the day of judgment regarding the promise. inshallah. In today's program, the topic of the day is keeping promise. How we shouldn't break promises, how we should fulfill our promises. And this is something suddenly we don't take care about. We may make a promise, we may say to someone that, yes, I promise I will do this act. But then we tend to break that promise and that trust. We break that. And I'd like to mention an incident regarding individual which shows his bravery, shows how Muslims back in the days, the kindness they had, and how they didn't used to break promises. And there was a king of the Arab named Nu'man bin Munzir. And this individual, he fixed 2 days in the year, where on one day, he would give favors and honors to the people, a lot of favors and a lot of honors for the one who meets him first. But there was another day that he would kill the person who would meet him first, because he was a king back in the days and he basically could do whatever he wants. So one day he used to give a lot of gifts, honors for the one who meets him first, and then the second day he used to kill the individual who meets him first. So a person from Tay, a tribe, came out of his home after being sick of poverty and hunger and came across Nu'man bin Munzir. And this was the day where the one who meets him, this king first, he'll get killed. So when this person felt sure that he would be killed, he asked the king, "It is the same whether you murder me now or in the last part of the day. But I have some small children and my wife and children are hungry. If you give me a little grace period, I'll be able to manage food and leave a will for them." The king had mercy on his condition, asked him, "Who will be guarantee that you will return? And if you do not come, then I will kill that individual." And the person, he looked towards the companion of the king, Shariq bin Adi, and requested him to become the guarantor. Shariq bin Adi, he agreed to become his guarantor. And then this person left as he wanted to go and feed his family. When the afternoon passed, the king told Shariq, "The afternoon had passed and he hasn't arrived yet." Shariq said, "We have time until evening." When evening was about to begin, the king said to Shariq, "Your time has come. Now get ready to be killed." Shariq said, "I can see a person coming and I think it's the same person from the tribe of Tay. You can kill me if he's not the same person." When the person came close, it became obvious that he was the same person who went to his home after making Shariq his guarantor. Seeing him, the king lowered his head for a while, then raising his head, he told him, "Oh, the person of the tribe of Tay, you have set a great example of kindness and favor. Due to this, I abolish the killing day from today because of you both." The king then said to the person who was from the tribe of Tay, "What urged you to keep your promise, though in keeping promise you are about to lose your life?" He replied, "It is my religion to keep the promise, and the one who does not keep his promise has no religion." Having heard this, the king gave him favors and honors and sent him back to his family members with great respect. Allahu Akbar. The views of Rise and Shine, from this story, from this incident, look how this brave this man was. He knew he was going to get killed, but he also remembered he made a promise. And as he mentioned, that keeping a promise is from part of the religion. Keeping a promise is part of the deen. And this is the reason why, because of him keeping a promise, because of him not breaking the promise, this allowed the king to realize that what he is doing is wrong, so he abolished this day of killing. And you can also see from this incident how the people in the past, they had deep passion for helping others, favors and sympathy, brotherhood and keeping promises. When, for example, when in this incident, when he was about to die, he was about to get near to death, this person who was the companion of the king, he was his guarantor, he said, okay, I'll trust you that you fulfill your promise. But nowadays, let alone strangers, when a person is about to die, even the family members leave that individual. And sadly, those who claim to sacrifice their lives also stop supporting, and instead of keeping their promises, they break their promises and deceive. And keeping promises, a part of a Muslim characteristic should be that a Muslim should never break a promise. And a Muslim, another aspect in a Muslim characteristic is that a Muslim should be there for another Muslim. He should be there whenever a Muslim is in trouble. Whenever your brother or your sister is in trouble, we should be there to help them. Should be there to solve their problems and situation and give them solutions. Be there, give them moral support. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in the narration of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated that the one who removes any trouble of a Muslim in the world, Allah azza wa jalla will remove the trouble of that person on the Day of Judgment. One who relieves a poor person, Allah azza wa jalla will relieve him in the world and in the hereafter. One who covers up the faults of any Muslim, Allah azza wa jalla will cover up his faults in the world and hereafter. Allah azza wa jalla continues to help the bondman as long as he continues to help his brother. Allah, this is a hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi regarding how a person should be, how he should treat a fellow Muslim brother, that we should help one another. Help a brother, Allah will help you on the Day of Judgment. Conceal that person's faults. If you conceal that person's fault, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal your faults on the Day of Judgment. And these are characteristics, sadly, which I not found commonly in a Muslim's life nowadays. And Mufti Ahmed Yarhan, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says regarding this, that if you remove someone's trouble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your permanent hereafter's trouble. Allahu Akbar, what a huge blessing that you remove someone's problem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your troubles in the hereafter. And if you find and you provide some comfort to a believer in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide everlasting comfort in the hereafter for you. Because the reward of a favor is a favor. So you do a favor for an individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you as well. And to a certain extent that even if you remove like a thorn, you remove a thorn from the foot of a Muslim, that will not go to waste, you will get reward for that. And not only you'll get rewarded in the year after, if you remove a Muslim's trouble, you might be going through a situation, you might be going through some kind of problem. Inshallah, by you removing someone's problem on this world, Allah will help you with your troubles in this world as well. And it is further elaborated, Mufti Sahib mentions that the one who forgives or gives grace, a grace period to the debtor, removes poverty of a poor person, so inshallah his difficulties will be removed in the world and the hereafter. That someone loans some money from you, when you know he's struggling, give him a bit more time. You know someone's poor, you remove his poverty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the troubles, your difficulties of this world and the hereafter. And this is something which sometimes we do not ponder about. And the reason why we don't ponder about this is because sadly we have forgot where we should. We forgot the Quran and Sunnah. We don't read the statements, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We don't read the Quran, we don't understand the Quran, which will mean that we won't get the actual message how a Muslim should be, how the characteristics of a Muslim should be. And as I mentioned in the beginning regarding the verse, fulfill the promise, indeed question will be asked on the day regarding the promise. And regarding this, Sayyidina Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that the commandment of fulfilling a promise has been given in the blessed ayah, no matter whether its promise is to Allah or his bondsman. Promise to Allah is to worship and obey him. Now, whether you make that promise to a bondsman or you make a promise to Allah, you need to fulfill that promise. Now, what is the promise with Allah? The promise that we have made with Allah is that we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to fulfill that promise. If you do not fulfill that promise with Allah, we'll, on the day of judgment, we'll be questioned about this promise. That why did we not fulfill this promise? Thus, reading our salah 5 times a day. If we are in the month of Ramadan, we need to fast in the month of Ramadan. If we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with wealth, we need to give the zakat. If we hajj is necessary, if farz upon us, we need to hajj. These are the promises that we have made with Allah, which we need to fulfill. And a promise to a person includes every permissible promise. But suddenly, what's happened that we are not good at keeping promises at all? It seems that we just love breaking promises, that a person never fulfills his promise. Like, leaders break promises after making promises to their nation, they break their promises. People break their promises after making them to each other. And sadly, this is something which we need to revive in our society. That we make a promise, we fulfill that promise. We build a trust with the person. You not breaking your promise, you fulfilling your promise. That increases your trust. Another individual who made the promise with you, he'll have more trust in you. He knows, he will know that I know I can go back to this person. He will be there for me. And it's mentioned in the Tafsir Tabari that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inquire the promise breaking person. Therefore, O people, do not break the promise which has been made between you and someone else, lest the act of breaking the promise will lead to fraud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهَدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُدُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ. Those who fulfill the pact of Allah and do not default on the covenant. Regarding this ayah, Sayyidina Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he has said that i.e. the good end in the hereafter is only for those who fulfill the promise they had made to Allah, because they bear witness that He is Rabb and obey His orders. They do not break the promise they have made to Allah and the agreement they have made with the people. So the one who will be successful in the hereafter will be the one who fulfills his promise. And is mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun, which is in Para 18, regarding the one who will be giving good news of Jannatul Firdaus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاؤُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and those who are proctors of their trust and their promise, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِذُونَ, and who guard their salah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, these are the inheritors. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, that these people will get the inheritance of paradise and they will abide in it forever. Allahu Akbar. This verse clearly shows that those who will be the people of paradise, who will be amongst the people of paradise, are those who fulfill that promise, who keep their promises, who are the proctors of their trust. These are the individuals who will be amongst those who will be the people of paradise. And Mufti Muhammad Naeemuddin Muradabadi, he says that whether the trust belong to Allah or people, similarly whether the promise is made to Allah or people, these are all mandatory to be fulfilled. Whether you make a promise to Allah, whether you have made a promise to the individual, is mandatory, necessary for you to fulfill that promice. And Sayyidina Alama Qurtubi rahmatullah has said that fulfilling every type of responsibility which a person takes, whether it belongs to religion or the world, conversation or character, is the special distinction of a Muslim. That a person who makes a promise, who fulfills his promises, this is a special characteristic of a believer. And inshallah now, we'll move on to our next segment of the show, which is the daily reminder. Inshallah, when you come back, inshallah, we'll discuss further regarding this topic. So inshallah, now we'll go on to our daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
On the day of Qiyamah, very difficult situation. And as people who followed Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam during our lives in this world, we would love to know, is there anything that will happen to us? Is there anything that will make the day of Qiyamah easy for us? A mother will be running away from her children, father will be running away from sons, and sons will be running away from the father. Nafsi nafsi type of a situation. What will be the situation of the ummah on that particular day? Human beings will be drowning in their own sweats as per their deeds and amals and actions. What will be the success of Muslims? What will be the success of Ashiqani Rasul and the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that particular day? My dear respected Madani channel viewers, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has beautifully mentioned that person who has sent most salawat and durood and salam upon me during his life in this world will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the ability to gain the companionship of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That was the daily reminder. Inshallah, we continue with the topic of keeping a promise or breaking the promise, what's the consequences? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, verse 55-56. Indeed, the worst beasts in the sight of Allah are the people who disbelieve and do not accept faith. Those with whom you made a treaty, then they break their agreement each time and do not fear. Regarding this verse, we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the worst kind of people are those people that do not fear regarding breaking promises, and which means that they do not fear breaking an agreement with Allah, nor are these people, individuals, ashamed of disobeying Him, even though dishonesty is a shameless crime in the eyes of any intelligent man. If someone dishonest, thus every intelligent person knows that this is a shameless act, and nobody trusts a dishonest person. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, he narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any Muslim who breaks agreements and promises is cursed by Allah. His angels and all the humans, as well as this, no obligatory or voluntary nafal deed that he does will be accepted Allah. The son who breaks for agreements and promises. This person is cursed by Allah and His angels. And abiding, following any agreements you made, abiding by these is compulsory for every person. And for a Muslim, being dishonest, this is forbidden, haram, and will lead a person to the fire of hell. Some of the reasons why a person may break a promise is that a person has a lack of fear. If a man does not fear Allah, then there is no sin that he will refrain from committing. The cure for this is for you to contemplate about your afterlife. Scare yourself of the independence of Allah and contemplate about your death. Tell yourself, Allah forbid, tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, due to this dishonesty, if Allah is displeased with me, then what will I do? The second, another reason why a person might break a promise is loop of this world. An individual usually commits this abhorred act of dishonesty due to some type of material profit. The cure for which is for you to contemplate about the detriments of loving this world. Falling in love with this world is the source of many, many evils. Anyone who suffers from the deadly disease of worldly love will find the doors of many other sins automatically open. Without doubt, a wise individual will only interest himself with this world according to the duration that he intends to live here, and only utilize his time to prepare for the afterlife. Another reason why a person might break a promise is due to deception. And the cure for this is for you to contemplate about the despicable harms of dishonesty. There is a blessed hadith which state that deceivers are not from amongst us. Undoubtedly, deceiving or being deceived does not befit any Muslim. A deceiver will eventually face humiliation. When people become aware of his deception, he will no longer be able to show his face to anyone. Furthermore, a deceiver will also be embarrassed and humiliated in the court of Allah. The fourth, another reason a person may break a promise is because of ignorance. That a person, he may be ignorant, he may not be bothered. He may not be bothered about the harms of breaking a promise. These are a few reasons why a person may break a promise. These are some things that we need to remove from within ourselves, these causes, these reasons why we may break a promise. And there are some hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, which is one hadith which is mentioned in Bukhari, that the one who breaks a promise to any Muslim is cursed by Allah, his angels and all humans, neither any of his fard nor nafil will be accepted. Another hadith, people will not perish until they break the promise to their people. Promise is like a debt. Destruction is for him who makes a promise and then goes back on it. Destruction is for him. Destruction is for him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are three signs of a hypocrite. When he talks, he lies. When he promises, he does not fulfill. And when he is entrusted with something, he doesn't fulfill that trust. These are four hadiths regarding breaking a promise. And these are three signs which found in a hypocrite, that when he talks, he just constantly lies. And this is another habit which we need to take out of ourselves, lying. That we just lie every second. We're not bothered about the harms of lying. We think that we're joking with our friends. We are just having a bit of laughter, banter. In actual fact, there's no banter. You're just destroying yourself. You're lying. Something which takes a person to the fire of hell. Another sign was that when you make a promise, you do not fulfill that promise. And Alama Mufti Sharif al-Haq Amjadi, Rahmahullah, he has said that three such signs of hypocrite have been stated in this hadith, which belong to saying deed and intention. These all depended upon a person's intention. That lie is the disorder of speaking. misappropriation is a disorder of deed, and the breach of promise is the disorder of intention. That if a person lies, that's it due to his speaking. He's not fulfilling his trust, or he's not fulfilling what he's supposed to do with his tongue. If someone breaks a promise, he's not fulfilling his intentions. And the one who is a hypocrite will indeed possess all these of signs, these things. So as a Muslim, as a believer, we need to refrain from these acts. We need to refrain from having these signs within ourselves. Sayyidina Sahl bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anha said, a person once made a promise to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam to meet at a place. He alayhi salam reached the place on time, but the man who was supposed to come forgot. He alayhi salam stayed there till the evening fell. He alayhi salam also spent the whole night at that place. The next day when that person came and asked Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, have you been here since yesterday? Didn't you leave? He alayhi salam replied, no, I have been here since yesterday. Having heard this, that person said sorry to him for forgetting to come yesterday. After hearing this, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam replied, I would have stayed here until you had arrived. That's why he alayhi salam became Sadiq, i.e. the truthful. That, look at this, a person torn into being a place, he went there and he stayed there all night because that person might end up coming. Why? Because there was a promise which was made. And it is mentioned in the Quran. I remember Ismail in the book, he was indeed true in promise and was a messenger, a conveyor of the unseen. In the eyes of Sayyidina Ismail, Islam, promise has great importance. And that's why Allah bestowed him the title of Sadiq al-Wa'ad, i.e. truthful of promises. And this attribute was also found in the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this promise, fulfilling promise, is something which you see throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu al-Hamsa radiyallahu ta'ala anhi says that I bought some goods from the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam before the declaration of prophethood. So I had to pay some of the amount to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. I asked Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, please stay here. I'm just coming to you after getting money from my home. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala made a promise to stay at the same place. But I forgot my promise when I reached home after 3 days. When I remember I reached there with the money, what I saw was the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was waiting for me at the same place. Having seen me, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not even frown or say anything. But, oh young man, you have put me in trouble because as per my promise, I've been waiting for you here for 3 days. Allahu Akbar. Look how this characteristic of fulfilling a promise was found within the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam waited there for 3 days for the young man to return. Subhanallah, this is something we need to read and instill within ourselves as well. These characteristics of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman and Sayyidina Abu Husayn radiallahu anhuma were coming from somewhere. The enemies of Islam stopped them and asked, are you both going to the field of Badr to help Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? They both refused and then they promised that they would not take part in the battle. They were released. When they reached in the blessed court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the incident, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam separated both of them from the row of those who would fight and said, we will keep the promise at all costs. We need only the help of Allah. Allah, look at these people. These two individuals made a promise that we will not take a battle in this certain battle of Badr. And they informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this promise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you have to fulfill your promise at all costs, so you will not take part in this battle. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment, which is the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever holds firmly onto my sunnah at the time of corruption in my ummah, then for him is the reward of 100 martyrs. This hadith is mentioned in Mishkatul Masabih. What is the sharh, the commentary? The ulama have said that fasadi ummati, the time of corruption in my ummah, refers to the time when the sunnah is abandoned or there is a lack of amal upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the wordings, 100 martyrs, this indicates towards the fact that acting upon the sunnah at that time will be a great struggle, very difficult. But its reward will be immense. We know the reward of a martyr, subhanallah, before his blood, the drop of blood falls on the floor, he sees his place in Jannah. There are so many ahadith in regards to the fadail of a shaheed. But why does it say 100 martyrs in this hadith? The ulama state that the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ, is because a shaheed, he goes through struggle, no doubt, great difficulty and hardship, and then he tastes martyrdom, but it's only once. As for the one who acts upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at that time, he will have to go through difficulty again and again. If he keeps the beard, for example, uses the miswak sharif, grows his hair long in accordance to the sunnah, then people will look at him and they will say things about him. They will discourage him. They will dishearten him. So again and again, he's having to face this hardship. They are disheartening him. They are making him feel down. So this is why he will gain the reward of 100 martyrs, because time and time again he has to struggle all his life until his last breath. He will hear people say wrong things about him. Oh, he is a religious person now. Oh, you're too young to keep a beard. Sometimes, ma'adullah, even the own relatives, parents, siblings are the ones to discourage. So this is why the reward of 100 martyrs has been promised for that person who acts upon the sunnah, who clings firmly to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at the time of fasad, corruption, when people have left the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to cling on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That was the daily hadith. Inshallah. Now we will go on to the segment which we discuss daily regarding we have a bit of fiqh rulings which we discuss, and we were currently going through and the wajib acts of salah. Again, if someone misses a wajib act of salah, then he will have to repeat his salah. And there's 30 wajib acts. So far we went through around 18. The next wajib act which we're going to learn, that for the imam to do the qira'at in a loud voice in the jahri salah. Jahri salah is those namaz, for example, fajr, maghrib and isha. These are known as jahri salah. So the imam to recite in a loud voice, this is wajib. On the other hand, for the imam to recite quietly in the siri prayers, like for example the Zuhr and Asr, where you have to recite quietly, in that salah for the imam to recite quietly, that is wajib for him. Performing every fard a wajib in his order, doing ruku only once in each rakat, doing sajda only twice in each rakat, not sitting before the second rakat, not sitting in the third rakat of a four rakat prayer, i.e. for example, you did the four rakats of Isha, where you're supposed to sit after the second rakat and then the last fourth rakat. In this case, you sit in the third rakat. Not to sit in the third rakat, that's the wajib as well. Doing sajda of tilawat if reciting the verse of sajda. Doing sajda sahav if he has become wajib. Avoiding the delay for the amount of time tasbih can be said three times in between two farz, two wajibs, or a farz and a wajib. For example, qiraat is farz and ruku is farz. Another important ruling that is wajib for the muqtadi, i.e. the follower, the person who reads namaz behind the imam, for him to remain quiet in the qiraat part of the salah. So when the imam is doing the qiraat, the surah Fatiha and the surah, whether the imam is reading loud or quietly, it is wajib for us to remain silent. necessary. So these were some wajibs of salah which are important, that we all need to know this. And inshallah, in tomorrow's part of this segment, we will inshallah go through the mufsidats of salah, those acts which break the salah. And as a Muslim, we need to know and realize the importance of salah. We need to learn the rulings regarding salah. And one way which we can is travel in the Madri Kafla Sudawat Islam. Travel in the way of Allah. These are 3 days you spend in the way of Allah. So for example, you leave on a Friday morning or Friday afternoon, you leave your city, and then you'll go to another city, you go to another masjid. There you'll stay there till Sunday evening, where within those days you'll read all your salahs with jamaat. You'll learn rules of namaz, how to read namaz, how to do guzu correctly, how to do ghusl correctly. You learn sunnah and manners, you learn how to convey the preach the message of Islam. You'll inshallah learn many other things. You'll get the opportunity to pray tahajjud. Get the opportunity to pray ishraq and chash, something which you probably never heard. What is ishraq and chash? You'll get to re-pray them, our being. You'll get to listen to the commentary of the Holy Quran. So travel 3 days in the way of Allah. Very unique days, and days which can change a person's life. And a lot of people which you may see on Madani channel, you may see give speeches, Muballighun. The reason why they are on Madani channel, the reason why they are part of this mutual environment of Da'at Islam, because of traveling with these Madani kaflas. And they travel in the way of Allah, they travel, they started their journey, and traveling every month or 3 days. And that's why they have now got this opportunity. Now they are on Madani channel, and that's the reason why they are in the environment of Da'at Islam. That's why you see a lot of people, they enroll onto the Jamatul Madina, because due to the effect, due to the benefit they people have gained of the Madani Kafla, that's given them motivation of travel, of studying in our institutes of Jamatul Madina. And our institutes, the admissions in the UK are opened. And if anyone wants to enroll onto our Jamatul Madina in the UK, go onto the website www.jamatulmadinauk.net. Go onto the website where you'll find the section of admissions where you can join and enroll. And in the UK, we just don't have a 5 years full-time course. We have a part-time course in the evening. This evening course, full-time course is for those 16 and plus, those who have left high school. The part-time is for those who are in year 10 and above. So whilst you are in high school, your child can still study the deen. And alhamdulillah, the part-time we have introduced in Bradford, we have a part-time in Rochdale, we have a part-time in Blackburn, and we have a part-time in Birmingham, Luton, and we have a part-time in London. And I think we have a part-time in Saudi. I think we have around 7 to 8 institutes of part-time Jamatul Madina. So if your child is at that age, he's going into year 10 now, and you want him to go to madrasa, but the madrasa does not take him on because of his age, he's too old. Because madrasa, usually the maximum age in madrasa is around 11 or 12. So enroll your child onto our part-time course. We also have a part-time course in Nottingham as well. So these are the various institutes where we have our part-time course, where it's a 4-year course, where we aim to, after this 4-year course, your child will have an understanding of the Arabic language. He will have an understanding of the Arabic language, have an understanding of the fiqh, he'll have an understanding of the fundamental creedal beliefs. And at the end of this, your child will get a qualification by Dawat Islam of being an imam. So this is the benefit of enrolling your child onto this course. And then from the part-time, then your child can move on to the full-time course, which will save him for a few years of the full-time. And inshallah, your child by the age of 19 or 20 can become a full-fledged scholar. Now inshallah, we'll go on to the next segment, which is Kulam Rasul. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
मैं किसी को नहीं छोड़ूंगा।
ये पानी कहाँ से आ रहा है? बारिश तो नहीं हो रही। अरे फैजान भाई, ये क्या हरकत है? मेरी किताबें गीली कर दी है आपने। मैं अभी नीचे आकर आपसे बात करता हूँ।
आप जब तक नीचे आओगे मैं भाग जाऊंगा।
अरे मुंह चिढ़ाना बुरी बात है। कितने बार गुलाम रसूल भाई ने समझाया है?
अभी आप बताओगे मुझे ये बात।
ये फैजान भाई को क्या हो गया? पहले तो ऐसे नहीं थे। जरूर
बुरे बच्चों में बैठ रहे होंगे।
अरे फिलहाल नहीं, मैं कोई डॉक्टर वॉक्टर नहीं हूँ। छोड़े मेरा हाथ। क्या हो गया आपको? हाँ मुझे पता है आप डॉक्टर नहीं है, लेकिन बेवकूफ जरूर है, इसीलिए तो 2 साल से कपड़े पहन कर घूमे।
ये आज फिलहाल भाई को क्या हो गया है? ऐसी बदतमीजी पहले तो नहीं की।
ये स्कूटी मुझे पकड़ा दे और आप आराम से दरवाजा खोल लें।
जी बहुत शुक्रिया।
फैजान भाई मेरी स्कूटी कहाँ जा रहे हैं? जल्दी चक्कर लगा कर आ जाइएगा। अब मैं कभी नहीं आऊंगा। जा शाबाश, अब ये मेरी हो गई। अरे मेरी स्कूटी है।
ये फैजान भाई को क्या हो गया?
राइको बच्चे,
फैजान भाई ये क्या हरकत है?
गुलाम रसूल भाई आपको चोट तो नहीं लगी?
नहीं नहीं अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह।
मेरे साथ भी फैजान भाई ने बहुत बुरा किया है। ये स्कूटी मेरी ही थी लेकिन बगैर पूछे लेके चले गए।
मेरे साथ भी बदतमीजी की है
और मुझ पर तो पानी वाली गन से फायर किए थे। मैं तो इनको नहीं छोड़ूंगा, अल्लाह करे ये जाते हुए गिर जाए।
अरे बबलू भाई किसी को भी बददुआ नहीं देनी चाहिए। हदीस पाक में भी मुसलमान को बददुआ देने से मना किया गया है और इस तरह की छोटी छोटी बातों पर बदला नहीं लेना चाहिए। प्यारे आका सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि व आलिहि वसल्लम की मुबारक सुन्नत है कि आप सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि व आलिहि वसल्लम अपने ऊपर जुल्म करने वालों को अल्लाह पाक की रजा के लिए माफ फरमा दिया करते थे। बस अल्लाह पाक खैर फरमाएगा, सब्र करें। अल्लाह पाक सब्र करने वालों के साथ है। लेकिन मेरी स्कूटी?
जी इनकी स्कूटी का तो कुछ करना पड़ेगा।
जी जी मिल जाएगी, लेकिन सोचने की बात ये है कि फैजान भाई को अचानक हो क्या गया है?
हो सकता है कोई बुरा दोस्त बना लिया हो।
आप लोग बच्चे
का तो कुछ करना ही पड़ेगा। गुलाम रसूल भाई फैजान को मिलकर पकड़ते हैं।
चले ठीक है, आप और नुमान भाई इस तरफ से जाएं। सैद भाई आप इस तरफ और मैं रायका को घर छोड़कर आता हूँ। चले रायका।
नुमान भाई ये देखे, मतलब कि यहीं से गए होंगे वो।
जी भागे इसी तरफ।
अब कहाँ जाओगे बच्चों?
अब तो सही पकड़े गए हो। आप साइड में, मुझे जाना है काम से।
हमारा सुकून बर्बाद करके अब आपको काम से जाना है?
मेरे प्यारे फैजान भाई सबसे पहले तो स्कूटी से उतरिए, ये नुमान भाई की है। वैसे फैजान भाई आज आपको हो क्या गया है और इतने दिनों से आप मिले भी नहीं? मैंने नए दोस्त बना लिए हैं, अब मुझे आपकी जरूरत नहीं है।
जी गुलाम रसूल भाई, कहा था ना मैंने कोई दोस्त मिल गया होगा। बुरा
बुरा नहीं है, वही अच्छा है। शरारते करने में जितना मजा आता है ना, वो किसी काम में भी नहीं आता।
फैजान भाई आपने ये जो भी किया सब तंग हुए हैं, ये बहुत गलत बात थी।
भाई मुझे ना समझे, मैं तो ऐसे ही करता हूँ।
अल्लाहु अकबर।
फैजान भाई ये बहुत बुरी बात है। हमारे प्यारे और आखिरी नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि व आलिहि वसल्लम ने इरशाद फरमाया, जिसने मुसलमान को तकलीफ दी उसने मुझे तकलीफ दी, जिसने मुझे तकलीफ दी उसने अल्लाह ताला को तकलीफ दी। यानी जिसने अल्लाह पाक को तकलीफ दी तो अल्लाह पाक उसे अजाब देगा।
जी अभी आपने जो भी किया हमें तकलीफ पहुँचाई,
नियत करें कि आइंदा ऐसा नहीं करेंगे।
अच्छा ठीक है,
और अगर हमसे फिर से दोस्ती करनी है तो अच्छा बच्चा बनना पड़ेगा। हम सबको अपनी सोसाइटी का अच्छा बच्चा बनकर रहना चाहिए। सोसाइटी के सब लोग हमसे खुश हों, छोटे बच्चे हमें देखकर अच्छी बातें सीखें, और हमें चाहिए कि हम खुद अच्छे काम करें और दूसरों को भी अच्छी चीजें सिखाएं, बुराइयों से खुद भी रुकें और दूसरों को भी रोकें।
गुलाम रसूल भाई, मुझसे गलती हो गई, सॉरी। मैं आइंदा ऐसा नहीं करूँगा, और मैं आप सबसे भी सॉरी करता हूँ। जिस चीज को मेरी वजह से तकलीफ पहुँची, मैं उन सबसे सॉरी करता हूँ।
You should encourage your children to watch Ghulam Rasool Bhai. Not only they'll find it fun because it's a cartoon, and also they'll gain Islamic knowledge as well. Usually children love to watch cartoons, but sadly there's no Islamic teachings in them. But alhamdulillah, Ghulam Rasool, you can get the English versions, you can get the Urdu versions, whichever version suits you best, and play them to your children so that they can enjoy and learn some Islamic knowledge as well. Inshallah, now we're going to go through some sunnah and madani pearls regarding cutting the nails. It is mustahab to cut the nails on a Friday. However, one should not wait until Friday if the nails have grown long. Sadr Sharia, Badru Tariqa, Mawlan Amjad Ali Azmi, Ali Rahmatullahi Al-Qabi said, it is narrated that whoever cuts his nails on a Friday, Allah will protect him from calamities until the next Friday, as well as for 3 more days after that, i.e. for 10 days. In one narration, it is also stated that whoever cuts his nails on a Friday, for him, mercy will come and sins will go. Allahu Akbar. And how should one cut the nails? That person, he should start with the index finger of his right, then go from this way across to the pinky finger, then start with the pinky finger of the left, go all the way across to the thumb, and then he finishes back with this thumb. So you start with the right and you end with the right. So you go start from here and then you end here. That's one way, that's how you should, the best way which you should cut your nail. And regarding the toenails, there's no specific order, but it's just recommended that you should start with the small toe of the right foot and cut all the way across to the small toe of the left foot. It is makruh to cut the nails in the state of impurity. If someone ghusl is farz on him, it is disliked for him to cut his nails. It is also disliked to bite the nails with the teeth, that because there is a worry, there's a fear that a person might be inflicted with leprosy in doing so. The nails should be buried after being cut, but there's no harm if they are thrown away. So it's best to bury them, but if they are thrown away, then there's no harm. It is makruh to throw nails into the toilet or bathroom, as this causes diseases. Nails should not be cut on a Wednesday, as this may cause leprosy. However, if someone has not cut his nails for 39 days, a Wednesday happens to be the 40th day. Because if a person does not cut his nails on that day, the duration will exceed 40 days. Then it is wajib for him to cut the nails on that day, as it is impermissible. And it is makruh tahrimi to keep the nails uncut for more than 40 days. So we should aim to cut our nails according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also cut them before 40 days. As if you don't cut them within 40 days, then it is disliked, makruh tahrimi, for to leave them more than 30 days. So may Allah SWT grant us the ability to understand the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, now we'll go into the last segment, then inshallah after that we'll close off our today's program. Inshallah, now we'll go to a promo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's the Islamic It's a right to rectify the people.
Muslims of UK, especially Muslims of London, we are currently in Wembley, in the heart of London. Alhamdulillah, Dawslami has great news for you. Dawslami has acquired this building, £5 million project, Alhamdulillah. And in this building, we've calculated just now that we can get between 1,500 and 2,000 namazi in this particular building.
The fragrance of the love of the Prophet.
Inshallah, Azrael, this will also become a Madrasatul Madina, it become a Jamatul Madina, and we've also got plans for the Darul Madina schooling system in this particular building. However, we do need your help, and the help that we need is to raise the funds to purchase this building. Inshallah, please donate to this noble cause. Inshallah, you'll see clips here as well. And Alhamdulillah, we're also blessed that Amir al-Sunnah has also done dua for this particular building as well.
MashaAllah. Haji Abdul Hamid ne khush khabri di ke ek bahut qeemti jagah ka sauda hua hai London mein. Allah karega to wahan ek azim ushan madani markaz qaim hoga. Filhal to sauda hua bhi to jagah bhi payment bhi karni hai. Allah kareem afiyat naseeb farmaye, aapki is kaavish ko qubool farmaye, himmat rakhna. Inshallah koshish karenge to sab kuch behtar ho jayega.
So please support us in this noble cause so that inshallah azza this generation of Muslims and future generation of Muslims, their iman can be safeguarded and we can produce the future scholars. So please support this noble cause.
Dawat Islami is purchasing this building. Please give your donation to Dawat Islami.
It's all over the world.
Your donation can be used for any permissible religious, reformatory, welfare, well-wishing, spiritual and good purpose.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There's the famous story of Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala laid out when he was going with his caravan to Baghdad from Jilan to gain Islamic knowledge. On the way, the caravan, they faced some robbers, and the robbers, they robbed the caravan, and one of the robbers came to Sayyidina Ghawse Azam and said to him, what do you have? And Sayyidina Ghawse Azam, he told the truth. He said, I have 40 dinars in my clothes. I have 40 dinars in my clothes. And then the robber considered it as a joke and moved ahead. After a short while, another robber came and asked the same question whilst passing by, and he gave the same reply. When all the robbers gathered around the chief after robbing the caravan, he was called. The chief asked, what do you have? He replied, 40 dinars. When he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was searched and 40 dinars were found, the chief asked, son, what made you speak the truth? Ghawse Pak replied, I promised to my mother to always speak the truth. Hearing this, the chief of the robbers started weeping and said, this child hasn't forgotten the promise he made to his mother, and I am disobeying my lord. After forgetting the promise I had made to my lord, the chief of the robbers, along with his fellow robbers, instantly repented and also returned the valuables they had snatched from the people of the caravan. Allah Akbar. Look at what we see in the life of Sayyidina Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala later. Because he had made a promise with his mother. He made a promise with his mother, and he spoke the truth. He didn't lie. And what was the benefit of him speaking the truth? That those robbers, they understood. They now understood the purpose of their life, and they remember that they need to fulfill their promise to their Lord. So they returned back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ghawse Pak at this time, he was a young lad. He wasn't like an adult. He was a kid. He was a child. Yet there was fear that the robbers may, they could do anything they want. But he still spoke the truth because his mother told him to speak the truth. And that's why we still remember Ghawse Azam after so many years. We still revere him. We still mention the miracles of Ghawse Azam because of his characteristics. Because of these characteristics which he upheld. That's the reason why which we still discuss regarding this individual. And sometimes people say words such as I will complete your such and such work till that day. This is the promise that I'll do this by Friday. And then for some reason, a person forgets. He forgets to do that. Thus, you broke a promise. You broke a promise. One way you can set someone is you can set an individual that I will do this thing, I will do your activity, this thing that you are telling me, as long as I remember. In that way, you have made a promise, but you're telling him that if I remember, that's when I'll do it. If I cannot remember, then I will not do this, then it's not my fault. And then the Holy Prophet said that when a person promises to his brother and also intends to fulfill it, and then a person, he may forget to fulfill it. And then the Prophet has said that there's no sin upon that person. So in actual fact, if a person does say this, that I will complete your activity by such and such day, subhanAllah, the Prophet has said that this is not breaking a promise. That a person promises to do something and he also has an intention to fulfill it. Rather, breaking a promise is that a person promises to do something but intends to not fulfill it. So if a person said to a person that I will do your act by Friday, but in his head is like, I'm not going to do it, I just said it. That's breaking a promise. But in his head, he has the intention to fulfill it, but then he forgets. Then he will not consider it as breaking a promise. Allahu Akbar. Mufti Ahmad Yarhani says that if a promise giving person intends to fulfill it, but does not fulfill it due to some reason or a compulsion, he's not a sinner. Similarly, if somebody intends to break the promise, but fulfills the promise by chance, he'll be a sinner due to his bad intention plays a significant role in every promise. Alhamdulillah, we've learned the consequences, we learned how important it is to make a promise. And alhamdulillah, something which is off topic is that our Shaykh, the founder of Dawud Islami, Amir al-Sunnah Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah subhanahu preserve him and grant him a long and healthy life. Alhamdulillah, this individual is a very unique individual, an individual who upholds the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an individual who, you could say, in this time of fitnas, this man, the amount of work he has done for the deen is, you cannot even count them. So much work this individual has done for the deen. Inshallah, we'll come again, and inshallah, tomorrow we'll have another topic, and inshallah, tomorrow we'll have another reminder, and same again. Inshallah, till next time. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night